Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Sandman and Nonke, welcome to the show. Thanks so much to Gareth and the team. Back again tomorrow. And it is Frankly Speaking for 1 hour of beautiful listening. Dumelang Roresang.
Eta.
Oh, why are you like this?
It's, what?
Dude, you had a public holiday yesterday.
I
you're fine.
Flew.
You flew?
Flew.
Oh, you flew?
Yeah.
Wow, what's wrong with you?
I got flu.
Yeah,
no, sharp and pinch up.
It's only because you're from Pretoria that you understand this language. Here. So we're hanging out with Frankly Speaking at Sandra and Rory all the way for 1 hour. And today's show is really interesting. You know, of course, it's Women's Month and yesterday was Women's Day and it's woman, woman, woman. And that's really cool and power to the woman. But Rory, we were discussing this a little bit a few weeks ago. And one of the things that came out for me was... Do we treat all women equally, and are there certain women in society that we don't treat so well?
Yeah, it's the interesting reflection that came out of that is that behind every successful man in pinstripes and woman in heels in the corporate boardroom is a humble woman in a maid's outfit back home, walking the dog, feeding the kid, and making sure the whites remain white and the dark don't fade.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. We haven't even started the show. We are literally a minute and a half into the show and you've already started your roast.
I'm burning.
What about the black middle class? Hmm?
Behind you and me right here, there's a woman somewhere who is making sure that everything is the way it should be. And we seldom celebrate them. They are the rocks beneath the rocks.
Well, we seldom talk about them.
Yeah, right? We ignore them. What are they, right?
I'm passionate about this personally, and I'm not sure why, but I think it's because I have a deep inherent guilt around this issue. As a middle class white person, this is something that is very, very close to my heart. Mm. I want to explore it. Mm. I want to see where it goes. I don't know where it will go. It'll probably make me look like a complete ass, but I suppose that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you are a complete ass.
And you need to ask yourself, is she your domestic worker or is she your slave?
Yeah, you're.
Is she your slave? Because it's easy. Oh, it's easy. Rory. Oh no, she's part of the family. But if we really look at it, is she your domestic worker?
You know,
or
it's
is
the
she
morning
your slave?
For some people, you know.
Hey, you need to deal with these things, and especially in Women's Month, where the International Labour Organization states that 83% of all domestic workers globally are women. So this is an important thing to discuss on this day, in this month.
And I think what's also interesting about it is in Women's Month, we often speak about the beauty of women, the successful woman, you see those lists all over the place. 10 women you didn't know about, 10 women doing amazing things. And that's fantastic. And there's definitely a need for more of that highlighting. But there's also like the shit part about being a woman and being honest about it, and the types of people and women specifically who are not highlighted at all in Women's Month.
Mm.
And I think the domestic workers of South Africa and of the world are definitely part of that crew.
Yeah, they're the women behind those women that we see on the list who are making sure that those women's families are actually running properly.
Preach.
The kids are making it to school. You know, it's a range of things that these women take responsibility for, but they are the least amongst us.
All right, so let's get into this show. We've got a whole bunch of people that we're going to be speaking to. There's actually a show on Cliff Central that we're going to profile that does this every week, speaks about domestic workers, maids, cleaners, whatever you want to call them. It's called The Maid Sessions. We'll be speaking to the host of that show as well, Tuliza Mbali, as well as some domestic workers.
Yeah.
Because you never hear that voice, because mostly domestic workers are scared to actually talk.
True.
Scared of repercussions.
Are they even called domestic workers?
Well, I that's the first question. So before we get into that, if you want to comment on the show, you can hit us up at Rory Sang Shabalala.
At Rory Shabalala.
I just like to say your full name. I'm sorry. At Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_LEVY. What are your thoughts? What are your guilts? What are your questions to these young women and also to your domestic workers? What do you want to say? Also you can hit us up on Facebook as well. That is Frankly Speaking Radio. There's going to be a lot of discussion on this show, I think.
Yeah, this one's going to be big.
Let's get into this thing, man. I'm scared. I'm actually nervous right now. I'm very, very nervous. All right, so I mean, the first question, let's welcome our guests. Firstly, we have Mandla, Langa and Linda in studio with us. You beautiful ladies, good morning to you.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
And you too?
I'm good.
You're just very quiet out there, huh?
No.
Lange, don't drop the mic yet. Just share the mic. Come on, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, I'm so good. So these amazing people are in studio. We've also got Hope. You might be hearing a baby's voice in the background. The cutest baby. We'll put him up on the website as well. He is absolutely adorable.
Because nannies don't get to have nannies.
Exactly. Mm. So in studio with us is we're actually the nannies today.
We are the nannies today.
So if you do hear some happy cries in the background, you know it's Hope.
Yeah.
He's just keeping it real out there.
Our producer, Bulla, doing an excellent job.
He is not ready to be a father. I'm going to say that right now. All right. So, I mean, ladies, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
You forgot to welcome Bali and Tuliza.
Sorry, Bali and Tuliza. Thank you. Morning. Hello. Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? It's so great to take the back seat today, right, Tools?
Yes, it's so lovely. Thank you so much for having us here.
Guys, thank you. You guys helped us get the show together, and we're really appreciative of you guys. I want to get into this really quickly. Like, Rory asked a good question. What do we call people who work in the house? Is it domestic? What is the word? Because there's a PC thing, isn't there?
It's helpers. Like, it was
helpers,
maids,
cleaners, domestic workers, maids.
They're called OCs. What is it that, which ones do you hate the most and which ones do you identify with? Do you say, okay, you can call me that. What would you call yourselves?
I'll just call myself Mandla.
You're just Mandla?
Yeah, I'm just Mandla.
And what do you do for a living?
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Yeah.
Housekeeping.
Okay. Yeah.
Ladies?
I'm calling myself Lina and the helper.
Helper.
Yeah. The helper. Langa?
I'm Langa.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself a helper.
A helper as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is interesting because in all of these, there's also au pairs, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference exactly between what an au pair does and what you do? Do you guys have any idea?
I think an au pair is someone, in my thought, I'm not quite sure. It's someone who goes to school and fetch the kids from school and come home and do homework with the kids.
Okay.
I don't think an au pair cleans the house, cook. I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, Mbali, you are or have been an au pair before. So what exactly do you, is that what you do? And how different is it from what a helper or a housekeeper would do?
The differences actually are quite superficial, at least from a nurturing point of view. I actually think that the domestic work and the au pair, in my experience, are a team. I couldn't.
So you've been an au pair?
Yes. And that's how this whole show came about, is because I developed bonds with domestic workers because I started au pairing. And I felt like they were doing at least half of my job. And in many ways, more qualified to do it because they had experience with the kids. They lived with the kids. They take care of the kids pretty much 24 hours a day. And then I come in with my car and quite superficial differences, like, I don't know, maybe my accent, and I don't have to wear a uniform because I'm perceived to be a certain class or from a certain background. Then I get this title of au pair. And look, the car makes a difference, but I also know a lot of domestic workers who have driver's licenses and still they're called domestic workers. So I think it's quite an aesthetic difference. I do homework every day, but at the same time, I've worked for families where, you know, the domestic workers are incredibly educated and will help the kids with homework as well. If the kids were not bathed, dressed, fed, and if the kids were not emotionally supported by the domestic workers, who often have to intervene when I'm not getting on with the child, I would not be able to do my job. So au pairs, in my opinion, can only be effective if there is a caregiver. Sometimes that caregiver is the mother, but, you know, we live increasingly in a society where mothers are full-time career women. So in my experience, that caregiver is the domestic worker.
I know we're going backwards here, and I want to speak to you three as well as Rory, I suppose. Like, why is it important, this naming thing? Why is it so important? Because there is something about, and now I'm talking from a very personal experience in circles that I've roamed in the middle class of South Africa, predominantly white. When you speak about the person that cleans your house, there's always that moment just before they speak about that person where they're like, what am I calling this person? Is it my domestic, my cleaner, my helper, you know what I mean, my OC? And you're like, and there's like this embarrassment about it, which means there's something inherently wrong here. So why is this name thing important?
Mandla, what is it about what you're called that's so important? Do you care what you're called?
Yeah, I don't want to be called a maid, a domestic worker, or, you know, sometimes it's like when people talk, especially like employers, they'll say, you know, my domestic worker did this or my maid did this. I prefer they call me, you know, Mandla did this. Mandla has done this and that, not to call me like names.
Why is the idea of being a maid and a domestic worker something you don't identify with or particularly enjoy?
Because I think being a domestic worker or a maid, you are being looked down. It's a job which people look down at. It's not a job that you can be proud to say. Tell people in the street that, you know, I'm a housekeeper at so and so's house, you know. It is difficult. That's why we don't want that name. We don't want to be called in those names like helper or maid or domestic worker. From my point of view, I prefer to be called with my name, by my name.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone my employer is talking to someone, should say, you know, Mandla did this or Mandla that, not maid or what, no.
Just out of interest, wherever you come from, where you call home, the people there, what do they know you to be doing in the city?
They don't know. I don't think they know what I'm doing because I never discuss my work with other people. They just know that I'm working, but they don't know what kind of a job I'm doing. And I'm not ready to tell them what I do now.
What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm also prefer to call by Linda because that name made you.
What does it mean for you? What does it do to you? How does it make you feel?
Yeah, like me, I'm young. So if someone called me maid, at the age of my stage, I don't like it. I don't like it at all because I must be at school. So I don't like called by maid.
Yeah. How old are you?
21.
You're 21?
Yes.
Okay.
Langa?
I like to be called Langa. I prefer that because the domestic maid cleaner is a very strong word and it doesn't feel right. Even where I come from, they ask me what job I'm doing. Obviously, you can't lie to them. You tell them mostly it's the kitchens. They ask us, "Nisebenza kuphi?" Ema kitchen. They know what you do in the kitchens. But sometimes you feel embarrassed to tell them what you're doing because that's not what you really wanted to become.
I mean, this is really interesting to me, and it brings up this other question about how you guys got into this kind of work. Maybe you can just discuss that a little bit with us.
Yeah. I think for myself, it came like an accident or something I was put into it. That wasn't my dream. When I was like at school, you know, I always dreamed like, you know, when I finish school, I'd like to work as a medical aide or a nurse in the medical department or in the police force. Those were the two things I wanted to do. But you know, like if you have got, you come from a poor background, sometimes parents don't have enough money to put you up to do those courses. Then, you know, my aunt then just decided that I should do this domestic work. Just for a few months or what, but that was the beginning of it until now.
How old are you, Mandla?
I'm 52.
You're 52. How long have you been a housekeeper for?
30 years.
Wow. So what was supposed to have been just 6 months?
It went up to 30
years. It's been 30 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Was your aunt someone who worked and cleaned as well in houses?
Yes.
And that's, so she pulled you in?
Yes. She was working for other people.
And what was your dream? So you went in for 6 months. What was the plan when you went in for that 6 months? Was it that, okay, I do the 6 months and then what happens next?
Because I wasn't working, so she just said I must go and work. So I started working.
Mm.
Then I didn't have any other ideas what to do, and then I just carried on until today.
Mm. It's you know, I want to hear from you guys about your experiences, but just as an aside, it's unbelievable that we're even having to have this conversation. I know that sounds stupid, but like, imagine they're like Rory. Instead of saying Rory, they say, you're my strategist. My strategist does these things in the office and in the house, you know?
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It loses, it almost dehumanizes you.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Get into that. Let's hear from you guys. What, you know, how did you get into this kind of work?
Yeah, for me, when I get started to be a domestic worker, my mom was pregnant and then she called me to come to help her to work.
So she was a housekeeper at
yes.
the time, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I helped her and then she give a birth a baby child, and mm-hmm. after that she got sick and then she died, and then I started to work as a domestic worker.
Okay. At the same place where she used to.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And you still work there?
Yes, I'm still working there.
Okay. So that baby Hope is your mother's baby?
No, this one.
This is your
yes.
baby. Okay. Yeah. So then you had to take over the responsibility of the new
sister.
Baby.
Yes.
Of your sister, and then you also have a child now.
Yeah.
And what happened when you were pregnant with your child? Did you have to find somebody to keep up with your job?
Yes, my sister.
Oh, wow. So you had to bring your sister in now.
Yes.
What would happen if you asked for maternity leave? Is there no such thing?
They say I can go, but they don't want to pay me. They're not going to pay me maternity leave
okay.
because they don't have money. So I said, it's fine. As long as my sister is going to keep my work, my job.
Mm.
So as now she's still working, and then I'm taking care of this young baby and then my child.
Wow. So yes. just out of interest, what types of jobs do your employers do? Are they poor people? Are they, so you don't need to give us specifics, but you know, are they rich people? Are they poor people? What exactly?
Mine, she's a teacher.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know teachers not earning that money, so I understand the situation.
Mm.
Yes.
Langa?
Mine.
Mm.
They middle. Not rich, but middle, in between.
Mm. So this is a normal, we're talking about normal families here.
Yeah,
Mandla, you've 30 years, how many different families have you worked for?
Ten
different families?
Wow. Yeah.
And you've raised children in between all of that?
Yes, I have.
The oldest child that you've raised now, how old would that child be now?
I think the child I raised was from, I think she's, she was born 1985 when I started working.
So she's about 31 now.
Mm, when I started working.
Are you still in contact with that child?
No, I'm not in contact with her.
Take us through, because that is also another experience. So you raise this child almost as your own, I imagine.
Yes, you do.
And what happens? How does your relationship change with the child over time?
The relationship changes when the child gets older. The more the child gets older, the relationship changes, because now the child doesn't respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is
What in terms of what? What kind of respect?
Like, you know, the child will swear at you, say horrible things about you. So that's when you start to, sometimes you get angry with the child.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get angry with the child because you can see that the child is disrespecting you.
But how does the child, so just give us an idea, where does the relationship start? Do you start off close, or is this something that just changes? And where does the child learn to disrespect you? How what happens? Give us maybe the first experience. So you were raising this child, you were close, and then one day this child started behaving differently. What is happening around the time?
You know, when you raise the child, at the beginning the child is only a baby.
Mm.
Until up the child hears things what parents say at the table, at the dining table. Mm. You know, like parents will say things behind your back, you know, this maid is like this or stupid or like this, you know. So the child will repeat that to you.
Mm.
You know, the child will just say, you know what, you are stupid. Then he'll say, why do you say that? Because my mom said so.
Mm.
You see, things like that.
Mm.
So that's when the relationship begins that goes sour, because, you know, as a parent, because you, as a parent as well, you can't be happy if your child says horrible things to you.
Mm.
Then the parents will come home, then they'll say, you know, the child is insulting me or swearing at me. Okay, I'll talk to the child. Then the child goes behind the door, so then they talk to the child. They, you don't know whether they tell the child that you can carry on doing this or what. You don't know what's happening at the back there.
Mm.
So that's when the relationship goes sour.
You have children of your own, Mandla?
Yes, I've got two adults.
So you've got adult children,
yes.
And you're being told by a younger child that you're being stupid,
yes,
and so on.
Yes, I've got two adult child and three grandchildren.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it makes you angry. You get angry, but at the end of the day, you don't have a choice. You just carry on with your job, because what you want is the job.
And how do you hold that anger? So what do you do with it? Like, when you get angry, do you have to, like, go somewhere and release or shout or scream, or what happens?
You just bottle it inside you. Because, you know, like parents, they will say that if my child does something wrong, we are not allowed to smack my child or hit the child. That I understand.
Mm.
Then you have to tell me. But when you tell the parents, what makes me really angry? They take the child behind, close the door and talk to the child.
Mm.
But if it is you, a housekeeper, you get shouted in front of the children.
Mm.
But you are an adult.
Mm.
But they have the power to take the child and talk behind the closed door.
Mm.
Then they'll come back and the child will just come to you and say, sorry.
Mm.
Which is a sorry to me, which doesn't mean I'm sorry. It's just something because he's been told to
say sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they don't correct the child to say it nicely as if you mean it.
Mm.
Say it like you mean it.
Mm. This is Andrew. Does this give you any memory of your childhood?
Oh man, this is all goosebump stuff coming back here.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's I suppose we didn't talk at the beginning of the show. We're doing the show at the moment, if you've just joined us, saying, is she your domestic worker or is she your slave? And frankly speaking, we want to hear your comments as well. Hit us up at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_Levy. We didn't say whether we had people that worked at our houses,
yeah,
and what that story was. So maybe I can give mine, you can give yours. But
yeah.
Effectively, the story that Mandla is speaking about, and specifically Linda that you're speaking about, is very true to my family, where Peggy, who works at our house, see, you're educating me now, which is great. Her mom used to work for us as well. So it's two generations of people working in our house, and it's mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing that the legacy of apartheid allowed for this kind of stuff to happen, where you couldn't get out of these kind of systems and roles because there was no education. Education wasn't going to help you. And there were no opportunities.
The interesting thing, though, is I imagine, tell me if I'm wrong, but your family felt that it was doing its best to lift Peggy out of that situation, or Peggy's family.
Sure.
So how did it happen that the next generation ends up in the same place that Peggy started from? Or how do you think it happened if you look back?
I think it's such a difficult issue. And I can't say it's all bad, because I think certain family members of Peggy have been lifted out of the situation, but I do think that it's nuanced. I think it's a mentality. It's you know, when your mom is in a role, and then you take over that role, and that's all you see every single day and feel every single day. You know, Mandla was speaking about the anger that she holds.
Mm.
That then gets translated down, you know, to the kids.
Mm.
And it's such a difficult one to think about. I mean, what's your story?
So my
background?
I wasn't raised with a housekeeper. I don't really have an experience of having a live-in domestic worker. We've I think at different stages of life had people come in just help with the ironing and so on. So never really have that story. My mother was very adamant that
we must
clean our own. We must. She said, "I don't want you to bother your wives one day. You need to be able to do all these things."
And so, look at you now.
So
hey?
We didn't really.
That's really so worked really out.
Hey, she did her best. I can fry an egg. I can fry an egg.
Oh my goodness gracious!
But where my connection with this is that my grandmother was a domestic worker.
Okay.
And so I've probably lived the experience through her experiences and through the stories that she's told. So it's really it has a sense. And my grandmother just passed away a week or two ago. Mm. And you know the experiences that she's had and that have shaped her life were very much the experiences of people like Mandla and so on. So and it's sad, the very same experiences that they share are the experiences that she would share.
So let me ask you this, because this is a very different perspective, but what was transcended down from your grandmother to you?
Maybe some of the cooler things. I think it's always sad. They wouldn't necessarily talk about some of the painful things, especially as a grandmother to a grandchild. But some of the more quirky things is that just an obsession with cleanliness. You know, just like my grandmother was obsessed with cleanliness because it's a thing that she has to do every single day. So the house, the way that you behave and so on is very much, you can see that a lot of these things were just taken from all of those years. And I relate to what Mandla says. You know, when they get back into the community, they are not domestic workers. They're not maids. They're not housekeepers.
They're humans. They are leaders. Can you believe it?
They are leaders in the churches and so on. Their houses are amazing. And funny enough, you see a lot of them taking on the character of their employers. They become the employers in the society, which is quite interesting. You know, they're as strict as the employers are. All of the standards that get upheld where they work are the standards that they bring home. So those are the sorts of things. Some of the more hurtful things are things that my grandmother wouldn't necessarily divulge because they are demeaning. And especially at a grandmother, maybe a parent will share things, but at a grandmother level, we didn't really have those conversations. But you could see if you touched on certain things, you know, the story of having to call a child kleinbas. I mean, my grandmother was a housekeeper back in apartheid days, so having to call a kid kleinbas, klein madam, those things are demeaning as an adult, particularly coming from a culture where age is is seen as something that also comes with respect and so on. And then to leave your community where your children are and so on, to get into another community where you are a nothing. Those sorts of things are demeaning. And I come from a community where there are still domestic workers and so on that are around in our circle, in the church community and so on. And to hear all of the stories, you know, they're not allowed to have their kids visit them, for example. You stay, but my children can't come in.
Lots of nodding heads here.
You know, so it's all those things that I guess I still have a bit of an experience about. But coming back to you, ladies.
Sorry, Rory, can I quickly ask
ahead,
you a question
Tulsi.
About that? How did your grandmother make sure that her child didn't become a domestic worker as well?
I don't know. I never asked her that, and I never got to ask her that. I suspect so. What I know is she moved from being a domestic worker to selling fruits and vegetables on the side of the road. So maybe she was fired, whatever it is. That line was probably cut, probably not by her own doing. But I know that she became a seller of vegetables and fruits and all of her kids. sold fruits and vegetables in trains and so on. So that's where they started. So I think that's where they picked up. If she had stayed longer, maybe that's what they would have ended up doing. But I know that from my parents, right down, all of them sold fruits and vegetables in trains, and they were the guys at the traffic lights that were selling fruits and vegetables.
Mbali?
Just to kind of highlight that this is a societal problem that's common to all South Africans in ways that are actually ironic, I want to point out that Mandla, I know you've had a domestic worker before as well, so I find this phenomenon of domestic workers having domestic workers very interesting. And it'd be interesting to kind of to understand from your experience.
That's a great question. I was going to ask that as well. I really was. I was going to say, have any of you got helpers in your houses? And if so, how do you feel and how do you relate to them? Yeah.
I had someone who helped with my children, who stayed at home with the children when I went to work. I think she was like my young sister.
Okay.
Yeah, that is the way I treated. That's how I treated her. You know, in African culture, you have to respect each other as a sister. If is a young sister, if she's younger than you, or is an older sister to you. That was our relationship. If someone who didn't know whether we were related, they just thought that we were related, but we're not related.
Okay. Yeah. I want to ask all three of you, because something when Rory was speaking became very interesting to me, which is there a difference between a black madam and a white madam? And if there is, or through your experiences, if you've worked for people, white employees and black employers, what the difference was? Any of you?
Myself, when I first started, I worked for a black family.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to white family. I would say, I think the treatment is the same.
Treatment is the same?
Yeah, as long as you are a domestic worker.
Mm.
They are the same. They always try to prove you that you are a domestic worker. Mm. You are not equal to us. Whether black or white is just the same.
Mm-hmm. You guys? Langa?
Yeah, I think they're just the same. It'll always be, if you're a domestic worker, you'll always be a domestic worker. Mm. Whether it's black or white, you get the same treatment.
Linda, similar feeling?
Yes.
It's interesting. Yes. Sorry, Linda, carry on. Apologies. Come close to the mic. Sorry, apologies.
Yeah, we're going to get the same treatment as they have got money, so the treatment is the same.
So it's a money thing rather than a color thing.
Well, this is interesting, because I've had a few conversations about this, and some things that have come out of it amongst friends now of my age and older, as I'm getting older as well. It's tough now, you know. But is this idea of the domestic worker in a black family being a threat almost? And this might not be true. This might just be an experience of one family, but where they're like, oh, no, the person who cleans in my house was trying on my makeup the other day, and she must never look at my husband like that, you know, because, you know, that's a problem, right? And whereas I think that because of the issues of apartheid, and the fact that in a white family there's just so complete dehumanization of that specific relationship, that will never happen. You know?
But maybe, I mean, let's challenge it, because
I'm interested. This is just an observation.
Is it? Is it? Is it just in black families or white families? You think that the white daddy doesn't look as domestic and like,
damn, you can find
I like me some black. I like me some black.
Once you go black, you don't go back.
Have you guys had that experience, or amongst your colleagues? Is this something that comes up a lot, where you are either seen as I see everybody's pointing
to Langa. Langa, what's happening here?
And you need to see Langa, right? So Langa is just
what are you about to say?
Long flowing.
What are you about to say?
Okay, let me not. Let
what
me
are
not.
You about to say? It's a woman's month. What are you about to say?
She's
right
pretty.
Now? She's pretty.
Yeah.
She not and pretty? The others aren't?
No, they're all pretty.
Oh, okay. Getting yourself caught up here.
No,
all right,
just
Langa,
say.
Let's hear from you.
Yeah, they do. That's why you see they strictly give us that you must cover your head with a duke.
Yeah.
I, for really? One, I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't feel comfortable with it, and it makes me like a granny. Uh-huh. Mm. And the hairstyles, they don't want your hair hanging or what, but I just tie my hair to the back because I never grew up with the Duke, and I'm young. Not very young, but I'm young. Mm. So I cannot tie my hair. Mm-hmm. So I just stick to...
Have you guys had, if not you or colleagues, have had issues where... the men in the house,
or women,
make,
maybe, yeah,
make advances, mm. make advances, or women, make advances to you.
Mm, I, for one, I'll say, not really, but I've just seen strange things in the house whereby you'll see somebody coming in there, and by mistake, I don't know that I've come across that.
Wait. Someone outside of the household.
No,
is
inside
just
the house, the main boss.
Oh, like the the husband.
Yes, you just ask yourself, what's going on
here? He comes in his underwear.
Did he make a mistake or I don't know. Mm. But because you're not worried about it, you just ignore it and say, oh, you just say, oh.
I mean, isn't this unbelievable? Like, this is unbelievable in the sense, and I know obviously the household is such a different dynamic, but it is your workplace, right? Now, I'm just thinking, imagine you go to a corporate and then someone's in their underpants just walking around, like, making a coffee. Oh, hello. Yeah. I'm just making a coffee here, you know?
But I think it raises another important question, which is you guys are intimately exposed to the family secrets and so on. What are some of the secrets that you guys have come across that you have to hold on behalf of different members of the families? Mandla?
Now we get quiet. Uh-huh. Now you're quiet.
I don't think I don't have.
Ah, you just said a lot. Have you? What sort
That's
of things do you come?
Question,
what sort of things do you come across that are things that you expected to not see, or because they don't see you, they think you don't see.
Can I rephrase? So perhaps not in your own experience, but in general, what are some of the things that the women who do your work, and men at times, are exposed to that you think they shouldn't be exposed to?
We're not getting
there. Come again, you're not getting there.
No. So, like, some of the secrets, family secrets, those things that you guys get to see. In the families that you work with?
I think some of the things is that, couples fighting in front of you.
Mm.
Or making, the other partner making, like, children, like, hate the other one most. Wow. Like, I'd say, like, or else, like, a father will say, you mustn't do this. Then after, when the father is not there, the mother will say, you can do it.
Mm.
You know, or else sometimes they will fight in front of the children, say horrible things which some I can't even mention. You see, I think those are the things I'll say. They're the things which happen inside the household, which other people outside won't know.
Oh no! I want us to actually get back to this topic, which is: are you is she your domestic worker or housekeeper, or is she your slave? Do you think you're treated as slaves, or more treated as humans with names like Mandla and Linda and Langa? As far as the way that you see yourselves treated, what would you say?
I think for me, I'll say the way we are treated, we are not treated like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for instance, when you have got a problem, that's the issue, where the issue starts. Because let's say you get sick, it is always an issue.
Mm.
But if the employer is sick, it's not an issue. You have to run around with trays, with tea, water, whatever, to the bedroom.
Mm.
But if you get sick, it's a problem. And the first thing they think about you are HIV positive. That's the big problem with employers. Mm. Whenever an employee, a domestic worker, gets sick, it's an HIV positive. She's HIV positive. Without even seeing the result that for sure she is. In their own mind, they have this thing created in their mind that if you are a domestic worker, you always have these contagious diseases, whatever.
And what happens? How do they treat you then when you're sick?
You have to go to the clinic. Mm-hmm. And at the clinic, it's a first come, first serve. You can't get at the clinic and find 50 patients already there waiting in the queue. Then you go at the beginning of the queue. You have to go at the back of the queue. Mm. But employers don't understand that. They always complain, forgetting that they go to a private doctor and they've already booked for time. If it is 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. Mm. At the clinic, you go in the morning, you can come back at 5 o'clock in the evening. Mm. But employers don't understand that. That's a big problem.
Mm. Ladies, in your experience, in what other ways do you feel that you are treated more like slaves than people?
Yeah, they treat us like slaves because the action and the way they talk to you. They don't say, please, can you do this? They say, you must do this. Mm. Yeah. And then they throw everything in the house, tissue. They left tissue on the table and, you know, panties.
Underwear.
Yeah. So it's not that easy to pick that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel...
Lange, you want to say something? Tell us
what. Yeah. I don't know.
You've got an experience in this?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Okay. They are treating us like slaves. Because one time they tell us we're part of the family, but we are not part of the family.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. Like she just said, they throw everything everywhere. Especially like on a Monday. Mm. You will wake up to see... In the kitchen, you will see things that belong to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You go to the lounge, you see things that belong to the bedroom. Mm-hmm. You go to the other living room, you find different things. Mm-hmm. That's the whole day, you're going to sort out all those things. Ladies will leave their underwear. Honestly, when you see that stuff, it doesn't feel right because I wasn't brought up that way. Mm-hmm. I have never touched a female's underwear. I have never washed it. I have never, ever... The first time I was told to wash underwear, it was very, very, I don't know how to put it, but I didn't feel comfortable with it. I tried to explain to them, but to them it seemed like something easy because it's going in the machine. But the fact that you are going to touch it, you used to have your own stuff. Yeah. And to us, in our culture, it's taboo to touch a woman's underwear, honestly.
Yeah. Mandla?
Very, very.
I think it's like as long you are, to them, in their mind, they always think that as long you are getting paid, you have to do everything.
Mm.
Yes, you have to do everything. You have to, whatever, if you are not feeling okay with it, you have to choose.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what they say. You have to choose. And I'll say something, mention something which happened a couple, few days ago. You know, they bought this light to put it outside my door.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a sensor light there. And they went to buy this one, which is just an ordinary light. You know, a sensor light, it will only come on when there is a movement.
Yeah.
Then I said, you know, I'm not comfortable to sleep with the light on because the light comes direct in my room.
Mm.
You know what the woman said?
Mm.
She said, okay, everything is about Mandla. I think we should just give her the house.
Wow.
Mm.
She has to take the whole house because everything is about her. I don't like this, I don't like that. But to me, I think I've got a right. Even if I live in your property, you have to respect my rights as well, as I respect their rights.
Mm.
That them, they can't sleep with the light outside coming inside their house. But me, I'm supposed to sleep with the light on. Just because I'm a worker, I'm a domestic worker, I don't have feelings.
Mm.
As a domestic worker, you're not supposed to have feelings. We are parents, we have children, we have grandchildren. When you work for these people, your children can't even come and visit you.
Mm.
But you don't have time to go and visit your children. They want you in this property 24/7.
How much time do you get off, or how does that work?
For myself, I'll say I work Monday to Friday. But to this... you know, I don't talk about myself all the time. I'll talk about my other relatives or friends from what they are having. You are not allowed to have your children come and visit you. You are not allowed to have your husband or your partner to come and visit you. Because you are just staying there as a worker. You are not a human being. You don't have feelings as a human being. I don't know if you get what I mean. You don't have a feelings as a domestic worker. You are not supposed to have a husband. You are not supposed to have a boyfriend or a partner. Because you are a domestic, you are nothing.
You're not supposed to have sex, eh?
Yes, that's exactly. Because I was respecting that word. They think that you are not supposed to have it because you are not a human being enough to have it.
I mean, this is absolutely fantastic. If you've just joined the show, we're speaking, frankly speaking, 1 hour. Is she your domestic worker or is she your slave? If you haven't heard this entire show, you've got to go back on it. It is it cuts to the core of, I think, a huge amount of problems in South Africa. And maybe the world, maybe this relationship is on a worldwide level. But I think in South Africa, it's definitely exasperated or emphasized because of the past. I'm interested, you know, like one of the other big issues that comes out of affluent homes is stealing. Exactly. Heard that under the breath. I love that. These mics are sensitive, so that's good. let's talk about that. Something goes missing in the house. Who is first on the list to get blamed?
The domestic worker.
My dog. Ninja.
As the helper, you are always suspected of stealing all the times. If they can't find anything, they'll come and ask you, where is it? You have to find it. Sometimes
How do you find it? Because, you know, sorry, just on a positive side, okay? Yeah. Like, because we're speaking about very negative things, but it is unbelievable that you know where everything in that house is. Absolutely everything.
You do. You have to. You have to. Because if you don't, at the end, because them, they can't find anything. Even if it is in front of them, they can't see it. So as a domestic worker, you have to train your mind to remember all the times, where does that go? Where does this, where do we keep this, something like this? So every now and then, if that thing they've misplaced it, it's not on its place, or else you are off on your, you are on an off day in your room, either phone you or come to the door and knock, you know, Mandla, we can't find this. Where is it? Do you know where it is? Then you go and look for it. Now you can't find it because they've moved it from this place where it is supposed to be. Then you hear it, find it. Now it, this thing have grown legs. It's walked away. You know, that makes me really, makes my blood boil. If someone says that, like a T-shirt is grown legs. How can a T-shirt grow legs?
Haven't you seen that? You guys, what's your experience, Linda and Langa?
Yeah, I think they are lazy because they are lazy to look for something else, you know. They say, I put my earrings here. I don't see it.
What's amazing about this is a shared experience, right? This is not happening in one household. This is happening in all households. Yes. Langa, your thoughts?
It's the same. I've encountered a problem with a ring that was not found just because negligent. She's negligent with the ring. How can this thing come out of your fingers and you go and ask your maid, where have you seen my ring? Can you look for it? So to me, I told myself I'm not going to look for it because that's the most valuable thing that you're not supposed to leave anyway. Secondly, you're on holiday and you're asked to look for that. You're on holiday, like December holidays, and you'll be asked to look for a certain thing because they leave everything everywhere and you must look for it just because you're a domestic worker.
Let's get into how much you get paid for all of this, all of having to endure all of this.
Oh, but how much do you get paid, Rory?
I get paid enough, but I'm
But then you're asking the question.
But they can say they don't want to. They can say they don't want to answer, right? But I'm just so the minimum wage is that's been set up a sectoral determination is 144 rand a day. Is that do you find that the payments are higher or lower than that?
It depends.
What has been what are your experiences? You're shaking your heads. Do you, do you get paid more or less than that? Is that
less? You said 144 a day.
Yes.
Oh, that's strange.
Sorry, 144 rand a day, and yeah. You're saying you get paid less than that?
I get paid less than that.
Is it a lot more less than that?
Yes, mine is calculated per day, and when I look at that money per day, they don't even spend that or give to their kids.
So give me an idea, how much would that be? Because I think it's important for us to try and figure out if a person can live off. So if it's 50 rand a day that you get, in a week you're getting 200.
50 rand a day?
Right, I'm just doing a quick calculation. 250 per week, that's 1,000 rand a month, right? Anything below, so at this amount, you're getting 2,800 rand per week at the minimum wage that's been set up. So that's the wage that, by law, you're supposed to be getting. Anyone that's paying you less than that is breaking the law. And you're saying that you guys are getting paid.
Are you sure that's per
that.
Week, Rory? Isn't that per month? Yeah. That no, feels no. high for a week salary.
What, 144?
No, the 2,800. Sorry, I just need to check this because then I got paid less than that in my first job. And that's
no,
not
no,
to
no,
say
you're
that
right,
it's bad.
It's per month.
Okay,
it's per
that's
month.
What I thought. Okay, so it's 2,800 per month.
We're still under that, some of us, as I speak.
Give us kind of a like, can you give us a band of like how much you're getting paid per month between this and that, and your colleagues as well? So not maybe your salary, but what some of your friends in the industry and colleagues are getting paid.
I know of my friend who's getting paid 1,500 a month.
1,500 a month.
Wow.
Okay.
And she works how many days?
She works Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday. Okay. Similar and experiences.
Same. I have one that's 1,500 every day and 2,500 that's including food. Because they, when they give you, they tell you it's including food, because if you were staying out and having rent and transport, like when they give you that money, they say it's covering if you were having electricity, paying electricity or paying for a room. Like some rooms are 800.
Can I mean, this brings up a very interesting question. I want to get back to Rory's contract discussion, but what does it feel like when the bosses come home with Pick and Pay, Woolworths, that they've gone shopping for a week, and you're probably having to be the ones unpacking this food, right? And you can see that they're spending 1,500 a week on food. What does that feel like for you guys, knowing that in a 1 week they're spending that just on food on your entire salary?
Yeah, it is painful. But
no, I want you more than that. Painful, because I can feel it. I can see it in your eyes that this is not just painful.
Yeah, it makes you really angry. Because the other part, bad part is that, you know, they will say, yeah, you know, things have gone up at the shops, you know. Forgetting that you buy at the same shops as them. Mm. But the money they have spent on in a day, it's 1,500. And that 1,500 is the money they pay you to last for a month. Mm. And you've got a family. You know, sometimes you feel like crying. Even if I talk about it, I don't.
I want to cry with you. Because I know that experience from the other side. And that's the scary thing. I've walked in with groceries, put them down and gone, I've spent a lot of money here, and the person who is unpacking these groceries is looking at me like I'm bloody mad, you know, because the amount that I've spent here is the same amount, or not same amount, but is a huge amount of their salary.
Yeah, I'm getting angry because one, they buy chocolate, and then after that they bought me no-name food from Pick and Pay, chicken, no-name tea bags. So I'm going to get angry.
You don't get the same quality that
yeah,
they
I'm
get.
Not, yes, I'm not getting the same quality food. So that they yeah. look me down. I'm useless. I must eat those no-name things.
Mm. So
I'm not important to them.
It's actually quite interesting, because some people actually spend more money buying food for their dogs and pets than they do they do feeding.
Yeah.
As we begin to wrap up, guys, what is it going to take? What are your dreams for yourselves? You've got a baby. Hope is in studio with us. What are you? Is Hope going to end up where you are? And what are you? What's going to have to happen to make sure that Hope doesn't become the fourth domestic worker in your family.
No, I don't want him to work, to live life that I live.
Mm.
Yeah.
What are you? What is it that's going to make his life different to yours?
I'll work hard to make him happy, do everything for him. He must get best education.
Mm.
Yeah.
So education is very expensive. So what is your plan to make sure that he gets that best education? He sounds very excited about the fact that he's going to get the best education.
He's going to be a model, that kid. Yeah. He's the most beautiful kid I've ever seen.
I'll try my best to keep that man I'm earning it from domestic work.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Lange, what are some of your hopes and dreams?
I have lots of dreams, but honestly speaking, with this money, you can't even save anything.
But let's just say you're getting tons of money. Like, what are your dreams? What do you want for you?
For myself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, growing up, I always wanted to be a doctor, but I see that that time has passed. So the second thing that I always wanted to do is like going into the food industry, maybe owning my own or running a restaurant, catering.
Okay.
That was my second ambition I wanted to be.
Okay, Mandla?
Yeah, my hopes are nearly next to his, because I think one day if I've got money, maybe I'd like to have my own place where I can, like, maybe a restaurant and be a chef. I like working with food. That's the thing I'll do, because like now I don't think that I can be employed as a policewoman as I wished in the earlier years, because I think now I'm over age to be employed as in the police force.
Can I say one thing?
Because no, you can't say anything. You can't say anything. What do you want to say?
Thank you for the show, guys. It was beautiful, and it's lovely just to sit and to observe. And I think something's been reignited in us as well, you know. I think we're just inspired by observing the conversation. But because it is Women's Day, I want to say, you did touch on this earlier, behind every society there is a strong home, right? That is at the cornerstone of societies. Behind that home is a strong woman. Behind that woman is a strong domestic worker. And so if we're talking about women empowerment in South Africa, I think that we need to start with elevating and celebrating the leading empowerers of women. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's overwhelming evidence that those empowerers are our domestic workers, right? I think that, you know, they allow women to participate in the workplace. They allow women to earn more. And we need to give them what they deserve. And we need to celebrate and elevate them to that position as our co-parents and our empowerers as women.
And I think we've got to figure out how we empower as well. Very quickly, before we wrap up and before we say our thanks to you guys, do any of you have contracts?
I have a contract.
Okay, you've got a contract?
Yeah.
Lange?
No.
No?
No, I don't have.
No contract.
Yeah.
Okay, 2 out of 3, no contracts. Rory, firstly, I want to say thank you to all of you. The Maid Sessions, you can catch them on Cliff Central. Just go to www.cliffcentral.com. They do an incredible, incredible show. It is fascinating, the stuff they talk about. You just got a podcast. You'll see it there. It's called The Maid Sessions with Mbali and Tuliza. You guys are awesome. And to you guys, thank you so much for being part of this. Rory, I think this has to be a series, man.
It's a series.
There's so many questions.
So many questions.
Like, what do we do? What is a good housekeeping relationship look like?
Yeah.
What are our roles within this? How do you know? And
wash your damn undies. That's probably the first role.
Wash your undies, man. And also personal experiences. I want to hear from people out there. So hit us up on Twitter. What has this show sparked in you, if anything? We would love to hear from you. Also, you can catch on Facebook all the details. There are going to be lots of comments about this. So please do add your voice as we make this the Domestic Worker Series. Thank you for listening. And if you missed any of it, cliffcentral.com/Frankless speaking.
Jovecho.
Sure,
wash your own undies.
Cliff Central.
The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.